I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Pettum here, as always. And of course, we're here to talk all things Aston Villa Football Club with a 3-1 win against Bournemouth at Villa Park on Sunday. Of course, that makes it 3 wins in 8 days for the Villa. Of course, 2 legs against Lille. Of course, Villa are now through to the semifinal of the UEFA Europa Conference League. So it's been a crazy 8 days or so, but a massively positive one. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Sebastian Bacon, who is still very giddy about our joke that Simon has no clue what we were talking about prior to this recording started. So that'll be something we keep behind closed doors. And of course, we do have the man himself returning back, Mr. Simon O'Regan. So Simon, I'll come to you first. How are things with you?
Well, they were fine until about 30 seconds ago. trying to work out what has made you two giggle so much before we started recording. And I mean, the way Seb is still cackling suggests that when you finally tell me, I'll be hopping in my car and going up to Manchester to kill him. But that means nothing to anyone else listening to this. But in terms of Villa-related news, how can you be anything but absolutely fucking ecstatic from how this last week has gone? It's just an unbelievable time to be an Aston Villa fan right now. I'm in a very good mood.
Well, I can tell with that. And to give you a hint that isn't directly related to it, no one's going to have any context with this, but we were talking about match fitness. Seb, how are things with you?
Yeah, it's great to be back, especially with you two. It's been a while since the three of us were on together. I've missed both of you, and
it may be the last time all three of us are on together.
But yes, in all seriousness, to be back talking about a win, and a win that perhaps was slightly unexpected, given the week that we've had, and also the expectations on the players. I certainly went into today trying not to expect too much. They looked on Thursday as if they were running on empty, and with virtually the same squad playing, I really thought we'd struggle against a high intensity Bournemouth team today. But that didn't look the case. We almost made easy work of it through how impressive we looked, especially in that second half. So to be talking about 3 points is a really pleasant, I don't want to say surprise, but a really pleasant feat, just topping off the week that we've had.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully by the end of the season, I might finally get my dreams of getting a photo of Simon stuffing Seb into a bin, but to be determined on that one. It's been a few years in the making, but yes, in all seriousness, it's been a fantastic week for the Villa. Of course, in this game, it was, like I said, 3-1 to the Villa against Bournemouth. Of course, Morgan Rodgers getting on the score sheet once again. That is 2 goals and an assist in his last 5 appearances. That man, Moussa Diaby, getting on as well. Leon Bailey scoring and assisting too. And of course, Super Ollie Watkins getting in on the action with 2 assists as well, which makes him the Premier League leader in assists with 12 thus far. So, I mean, let's start with we'll do it this way first. Let's backtrack for just a moment, and then we'll talk about Ollie Watkins. Because, of course, Simon, we didn't speak to you post-Lille on Thursday. Of course, you were there. You sent me many a video. Thank you for that. It was great for Twitter or /X, whatever you want to call it, content. So I appreciate that. One video might have slightly scared a few children if I posted it, so I didn't. But I mean, going from that result to this, just kind of sum up the whole week that was for you in terms of Villa.
Obviously, you had the unbelievable result against Arsenal last weekend, which I think probably gave fans a fair bit of confidence going into that little game. You knew it was always going to be difficult, but then you saw how he performed against Arsenal, and I certainly felt more confident than I was going into it. But then the way the game unfolded, I mean, I thought we were dreadful for like 90 minutes in that game. It was a really strange performance, I thought, over there. As sort of Seb was saying there, we looked quite leggy in Lille compared to today. So the fact that we got through that, I think, because it was such a, well, certainly for the fans, I think it was a training experience. And God knows how the players must have felt. I mean, at full time, once that last penalty was saved, I was sitting there in the stand and I had like this headache. I felt like I was hungover. Like that's how much I kind of gone through the emotions of that game. So I kind of going into today, you kind of expected us to win purely from the sense that we're a better team than Bournemouth are. But I was kind of concerned because of the way Bournemouth do play, which is, you know, very high press, and quite an aggressive press as well. They're, you know, very fit team. I thought that we could struggle, and especially when you see the lineup and it's pretty much the same players, because we've got no option but to keep going with them, because you can't chuck. You know, we had, was it four sort of kids on the bench today, really? Like Kessa Hayden, Kelly Munn, Munro, I think it was. And, you know, Duran's, I know he's played a decent amount of football, but he's still only, 19, 20. So I was maybe slightly concerned, but the energy and performance that some of those players put in today, Ollie Watkins, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about him later, but his energy levels were incredible. The one player, I have to say, I was delighted when we signed this player. He had a bit of an iffy start, and a lot of people foolishly, stupidly wrote him off after a couple of games. But as the season's gone on and on, Youri Tielemans has been unbelievable. I think he's such a... I think anyone kind of knows anything about football and like watches football regularly, everyone knew Tielemans was a very good footballer. You could see that. When we signed him, you heard from a lot of Leicester fans, oh, he's lazy, he doesn't get back, you know, he's got no legs in him. Well, you saw how him and McGinn dominated the midfield at the Emirates last week. He's gone 120 minutes on Thursday night, and I thought he was brilliant again today. I think huge credit to the players as well. But we kind of, in a way, we shouldn't be surprised, because Unai Emery knows how to manage Thursday, Sunday football. You know, he's done it four times, I think, is it? With three with Sevilla, one with Villarreal, with the Europa League. So we've got a manager who knows how to do it. And the other big thing with that as well, me and mates were talking after the game, we hear there's a no-excuse culture, in terms of injuries, tiredness. And then you hear, the likes of Klopp and Arteta constantly moaning, saying, oh, we need a break, it's not fair. That if you're hearing that message all the time, that has to seep through to the players as well. And it gives them the excuse to maybe not perform because, oh, we haven't had enough rest. Don't ever hear anything like that from us. And, we're showing that it can be done with the proper manager.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's kind of the important thing when you look at squad rotation. Of course, Dougie Louise was taken out, Nicolò Zaniolo was taken out. Of course, I don't really know if there's been anything about Zaniolo in terms of injury status since, but of course Morgan Rogers and Leon Bailey, which I was honestly shocked to see Leon Bailey, to be honest, based on how strapped his leg was on Thursday. The fact that he's been able to pull through the way that he drove that team on Thursday when he came on, and then of course on a goal and assist as of time of recording on Sunday. I mean, massive mentality. And we've all seen that little kind of video gif from the Lille Way game, just saying, calm down, guys. We have this. There's time left, that kind of thing. So That's a mentality monster, and it's very, very different to have several players like that in this team. But nonetheless, Seb, I'll throw this one to you, of course. Now we're looking at Villa on 66 points, six ahead of Spurs. Their two games in hand are now Chelsea and City, which, I mean, from my perspective, is kind of funny because that is a massive ask, not act. I don't know what the heck I'm saying there. But regardless of that, when you sit back and you look at this season as a whole with the points total, this is the second most Villa I've ever had in the Premier League era. I think the first was in 92, 93 on 74 points, where they actually played four more games during that campaign as well. I mean, surely this is in our hands now. I even with Spurs having two games in hand, you'd have to say that our destiny is almost written at this point. And I don't mean to be an arrogant person when I say that.
I have always said that I would rather have the points on the board than games to play. I've always maintained that mentality. If you can get ahead early, then it only puts pressure on the teams below you to then have to win their games in play. It's definitely not done. There's still a long way to go, and we still have some tricky games of our own to come. But we've put ourselves in a position now where we can afford to look ahead and not almost, you know, it's. I think you're right in saying that, you know, we're nearly there. What is it now? Four games left, I believe, two at home and two away. So we've afforded ourselves a position where we can look at those games and we can strategically plan what we need to get us over the line, but it still feels like there is a long, long way to go.
Yeah, it is one of those things when you sit back and look at it as Villa fans, and we all have Villa PTSD, especially all three of us that are doing this recording session right now. Simon a little bit more so than others, and that's not a dig at him being the eldest. That's just the truth of being a Villa fan for the longest, and Simon would definitely attest to that. But no, when you look at and you reflect on it this season, regardless of what happens from here on out, Simon, I mean, it is one to remember, and it's one we're going to cherish for a long, long time. I know we felt that way about the promotion campaign and the unbelievable unbeaten streak that we had and that momentum. But I mean, this is just like feels like a million levels above that, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think we kind of maybe when we were doing the preview, the podcast, like for the start of the season.
The one that never made
Yeah, the one that
it.
made out, yeah. Like we were kind of saying it feels like something special is building up the club. Like just the way we kind of the way last season went from it, when it, Emery came in, like from where we were when he took over to even to got us to qualify for Europe from the position we were in, you kind of like that was unbelievable. But you just kind of felt that we had like a proper elite manager, and you could see instantly what he was trying to do. You saw over the months in that season, the improvements in like pretty much every single player. And then not just in terms of on the pitch, but this sort of things that have been put in place off the pitch with him being allowed, you know, to get in all his support staff, and then obviously you get Monchi coming in, who he had, you know, great success with at Sevilla. So you felt at the start of the season that, you know, okay, something special could be happening. But then you put into context of the position we're in terms of dealing with the amount of injuries. And I know like a lot of teams have had quite a few injuries this season, which, you know, I think there probably needs to be some proper, you know, investigation into what is causing, because it is unusual. But we've had like really significant long-term injuries. You know, all that optimism that I think people had at the start of the season, and then you lose Brendan and Mings for the season and get pumped 5-1 on the opening day. And I think maybe some people thought, okay, we might need to reassess our expectations for how this season will go. But the way it's unfolded, I mean, as you guys have often pointed out about my seniority on this podcast, You know, I've had the same ticket since 1997, and honestly, I cannot remember a more enjoyable time supporting Aston Villa. We've never had a manager at this level. I think the squad of players that we've already built is probably the best squads that we've ever had. We know we've over the years we've had really, really good individual players, and we've had like good teams, but not an awful lot beyond that first 11 over the maybe two or three subs. But it feels like everything has been set up in place. But as well as good, and that's all well and good having all the tools and everything in place, you've still got to go and actually execute it. And there's been disappointments this season, but unless you're a fan of Man City, every fan is going to have moments in the season that don't go brilliantly for them. You're going to have points like that, but it's been unbelievable. And I agree with Seb that I think there's still work to do. Like, it's definitely not over yet. But I think, as we were saying, before we started recording, for me, I think if we beat Chelsea next Saturday, and then Tottenham don't beat Arsenal, they lose or draw the next day, I just cannot see how they'd be able to catch us up then. So yeah, we're so close now. I think we will get over the line, but yeah, there could still be more twists and turns to come.
Well, that's the best thing about this, I think, if Villa can get it over the line, like I think we all think they will and hope they will, of course. You do sit back and think they've done this on their own merit. And I'm honestly, in a weird way, I'm kind of glad that fifth isn't a Champions League spot, that it looks like it most likely, almost 99.9% sure it won't be at this point. Because in a weird way, I guess, as much even if Villa finished fifth and that was a Champions League spot, I would say fantastic, I'll take it. But this just feels even that much more sweeter. And again, you avoid all the trolls and things online with that too. And there's just a lot of positivity. And of course, there's more money for the club, yada, 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 all that kind of stuff that gets into it in terms of positioning within the Premier League, within the Champions League, and all of that kind of chatter. But to get back to this game in particular, and Seb, I'll throw this one your way. I mean, we've definitely made the theme of this discussion so far about the 120 minutes in Lille kind of maybe being surprised that Villa played as well as they did against Bournemouth, and the feeling around just being a positive, brilliant club as of late in terms of definitely on-pitch stuff. I don't want to bring up off-pitch stuff because I know that can spark more controversy regarding several different topics. But when you look at it, it is a surprise that the players that did play, the number of them that did play against Lille played today, that's exhibit A. But I mean, just even from trailing from behind through that Matty Cash penalty giveaway, to come back, to score three, to look so solid and to just keep pushing on, I think that's probably the greatest testament to this Villa side this season, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, and it's a very obvious thing that's changed. I'm going to include Simon in this, in that how many times have we gone 1-0 down in recent years where we've looked the better team, we've been on top, something like the cash tackle has happened and we've ended up going 1-0 down, and then that would be our game, then we'd crumble and we'd go inside ourselves. But there was no sign of that at all today. Even at 1-0 down, we still almost weirdly looked in control. And I think the goal that we got just before half time was perfect timing and also justified, balanced on the state of play. And anyone knows this. You don't need to, you can be new to football and know this, is that if you score just before half time, then that tends to have a really positive impact on the rest of the game. And that second half was as good a second half as I can remember from us, probably throughout the course of the season. The way we dominated the ball, the way that we were able to create chances. I mean, testament to Ollie Watkins. I'm sure we're going to bring him up at some point, but the way he had all four defenders in his pocket, he was in control. He knew when to turn, he knew when to have the ball released. And the only thing that was missing from his play today was that goal that he very obviously was craving.
Absolutely. Well, from craving goals to being the leading goal and assist overall contribution leader in the Premier League. That is Ollie Watkins, of course. Now he is on 31, and I apologize for the barking dog if you can hear that. Of course, he has 19 goals and 12 assists in the Premier League just alone. But Simon, I was looking at it in a little bit more detail because I feel like that doesn't even do Ollie Watkins enough justice this season. Because when you look at all of the games he's played in all competitions, in terms of, I think it's around 47 games he's played in all competitions, and he scored 26 goals and 12 assists. So that's 38 goals and assists in 47 games. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's crazy. If only he could take a penalty and then he'd be going to the Euros. But I mean, no, I mean, Ollie Watkins. I mean, just on today, I don't think you'll see a better centre forward performance in the Premier League this season. I thought he was world class today. It's a shame that he didn't get the goal. I don't know if you've seen on the Villa Twitter when they filmed the players sort of coming in with the Luke giving Luka Dean giving it another one, which I've got to say I'll always love that man for that. But yeah, Watkins came in. He's like, how did I not score? And you can see there was a chance right at the end, wasn't there? And when he gets through to the box, and I think if 9 times out of 10 he will roll that to Diaby to pull it in, but he thought the game's run. I need to get this goal. But yeah, that's as I thought today he was outstanding. For me, like, don't get me wrong, Haaland is clearly a world-class striker. But if you're talking this specific season in the Premier League, I think Watkins is head and shoulders above any other centre forward in the league this season. Because he's not just the goals, it's the assists as well. It's his all-round game. I personally think that he should be winning player of the year. Like, I honestly, there's obviously, people like Foden and Rodri have had brilliant seasons and they're brilliant players. But there's no one, I think, who's had more of a positive impact for their team than Ollie Watkins has this season. Like, he's unbelievable. I think now he's only him, Mbappe and Harry Kane, who in the top five European leagues, who have got over 30 goals and assists combined in the league. That you kind of you don't want to go over the top and start saying stuff like, oh, Watkins is a world-class striker. But sometimes you gotta, if you're looking, if you just look at it, the bare facts of certainly this season, his game has just elevated to a completely different level. And you still kind of feel that you could still get more. There's you get there'll be games where you'll end up seeing fans get on his back on Twitter saying, oh, you should have scored that. You should have scored. Look at all the chances he missed. Which there is an element of truth in that he sometimes you do look some of the chances he missed and think, bloody hell, how has he done that? So it's in a weird way, I still think he can get better. Like the coaching that he's had under Emery, he's completely sort of change his game that he's not chasing down every single lost cause, but his overall game has just, as I say, it's just gone up to a completely different level. And I mean, we've said this a few times, there is no striker out there who Villa could realistically get that would be anywhere near his level. Like, honestly, I can't speak highly enough of him. And as I say, I thought today, I think that's the best centre forwards performance I've seen from anyone in the Premier League this season. I thought he was incredible.
Well, that's just the thing. He does everything. And I feel like even I saw a comment from the Bournemouth manager that came out shortly after complimenting Watkins as well, saying his all-around game is basically top-notch. And that's the difference between, and I'm not downgrading Haaland in anyone's mind because we all know he's a cyborg and he's ridiculous. But Ollie Watkins literally does it all. It's the definition. When you are, well, I mean, in what Troy Deeney's eyes, he's a winger. So a winger having 19 goals and 12 assists in one season with 4 games left. The fact that he can nearly lead both the assists and goals category in this league is unreal. But Seb, I think again, Simon has given us his opinion, but I mean that has to put him very, very highly in terms of having a chance to be the player of the season within the Premier League, doesn't it?
Oh, he'd be there for me. If I had a vote, that would be who it would go on. The only disappointing thing is it normally goes to the team who've won the league, which rightly or wrongly, that's the way it's been for quite some time now. But yeah, I can only really echo what Simon said in the fact that, the contribution he has to his team is far greater than one of a Haaland or a Phil Foden, for example. The way he's elevated us, and also just the sheer rise in which he's had on a personal level as well, can't really be understated. So, yeah, I think he's defied expectations in every single avenue this season. And Simon said it, Emi Martinez said it the other day. If it was up to me, that's the only way that it would be going, yeah.
100%. Well, let's talk about Mr. Morgan Rogers. We've done that a lot in the last month. Like I said at the very top of this recording, of course, that's 2 goals and an assist in his last 5 appearances in the Premier League for Villa, of course. So, of course, that I've said, of course, there way too many times. But regardless, Simon, you look at this 21-year-old and you think, and a lot of people thought on death and social media, and we've kind of talked about this before many times, but why did we buy him? Now you look at the injuries. Now you look at him starting to produce consistently. And it's kind of interesting because it's not so much he's in the side. I mean, yes, it is out of necessity, let's be honest, because when he looked at that bench today, you thought, wow, there's a lot of youngsters. But he's literally made a case to be in this side and to continually be part of the side, hasn't he?
Definitely. I thought he was brilliant again today. You're right, he probably I there's if Ramsey, say, had been fit from January onwards, I think you'd have probably only seen Rodgers initially getting sort of 5, 10 minutes here or there. Like, he definitely wouldn't have been playing the amount of football that he has. But I mean, he's taken to it like a duck to water. I've been surprised, to be honest. I think we said a couple of weeks ago, I mean, after the Brentford game, and when we were talking about him, obviously he got his first goal in that game. And I was saying then that when he first came and his sort of first few appearances, you could see that he was, raw and had a lot to learn, which he still does. But even in those early appearances, you kind of I could see early on, okay, there's a player here. Like, he's clearly got something about him. In the last few weeks, he's just grown and grown and grown. And he's we've I think we've a few of us have said this on this podcast before, and that he's very similar to Ramsey in terms of the way that he can, he powerfully run forward with the ball. So it's it has been vital, actually, that we managed to get him in, because we missed that all season from Ramsey. I think, he's one of those. I've seen a number of tweets in the last few days sort of saying, oh, Rodgers much better than Ramsey. I think people are forgetting just how good a player Jacob Ramsey is, to be honest. And but that's not to sort of denigrate Rodgers at all. I think he's been unbelievable. He's still got bits to his game, obviously, that they need to work on. I mean, there was an occasion maybe in the second half when the ball was passing to him. He just kind of, I don't know who he was trying to pass it on to, but he gave it away. And he's done that a few times. But that's to be expected. He's 21. He started the season at Middlesbrough in the Championship. But when he does the good things well, he just looks brilliant. I mean, he's got very good first touch. For he's quite big, he's quite tall, and quite sort of powerful looking fella. But he seems to have a really good sort of low center of gravity, and like, he can turn away from players very, very well. Like, he could go either way, and when he turns and gets running, literally the only way to stop him is to pull his shirt and foul him. Like, I thought his goal today as well. I mean, the pass from Leon Bailey was unbelievable. But the composure and skill to sort of just chop back inside the defender and leather it off Neto's face into the back of the net. It was such a good goal because, you know, as we were 1-0 down at that point, we had been in pretty much full control of that game. And had we gone in 1-0 down, I think you'd probably, there'd been a few nerves in the crowd. So at that stage of the game, when he's running through, he could quite easily be weighing up his options, thinking, do I take a shot on the left or try and cross it? Do I cut in? Like, it's players like that, especially young players, what marks out sort of average players at that age to the ones, you know, okay, there's something about them, is they make the right decision, they do it with like calm and composure. And I've been really, really impressed with him. And I think, you know, I said to my brother in the first half, I suspect there's a lot of people who sent tweets back in January who feel very fucking stupid right now. And, you know, the fact people's moaning at spending £8 million on a young player that Unai Emery wanted to sign is madness to me. And I think, as you know, the fact that he probably wasn't expecting as much football as he's got, when after a full pre-season under Emery and you know, the other players that you suspect will get in the summer, I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to come through next season, because he looks like he's got everything that you'd want in a player in that position to go and be a really big player for us.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
His fee could rise as high as 15 million, isn't it, or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah. Which, even so, you know, 15.
Sign 5 more of them. That's all I can say at that fee. And we will do very, very well.
I mean, all I hope now is whoever we sign in the summer, I don't want to see a single tweet from anyone moaning about why we've signed this player. If Unai Emery wants to sign a footballer, trust me, anyone who would want to complain, Unai Emery, and I guarantee this, knows more than you do, so just shut up and let him get on with it.
Well, that's the thing I think we've learned very fast now that, of course, Monchi's at the club as well. I would expect, especially in the summer, and not to dive into transfer chat too much, but just to mention it, I think we might see a few surprising signings that we had no clue about. We've already seen that. And for example, if another one comes from the championship, let's say, for example, we can't jump on the back of it because, I mean, both of them have full credit at this point because they haven't, you'd have to argue, they really haven't missed. You can argue that there's some holes in the squad and why haven't we moved on someone like, for example, I hate throwing under the bus, but Callum Chambers, we all know he's not going to be here past this year. Aside from that, maybe that's the only complaint, but again, it's not easy to shift players on, bring players in to fill spots. I think they've done more than enough. And I mean, where Villa are now, if this Villa side does not have your full confidence, I don't have many hopes in the world for you, dear listener. So I do apologize for that. But well, Seb, I was looking at, of course, the score line. We all know it was 3-1 to Villa against Bournemouth, but I was looking to see when Moussa Diaby actually scored his goal. And that was the 57th minute. Now, typically in Villa land, probably between the 45th and you argue maybe even the 60th, 65th, has not been a good time this season. But when Villa are able to turn things around as quickly as they did right before half into the second half. I mean, even with the few games we have left this season, it just, I don't know, it just feels like we're turning a bit of a tide, even in that one of those low negatives that we've had for the season, doesn't it?
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that question, and I ended up listening to it twice. I still don't really have an answer. Yeah, you're right. That's been one of the nitpicky things that we've sort of picked out recently. But I mean, if that's one of the only negatives that we can find in this side, then long may it continue, because that is a very minimal thing. But like I said earlier, going back to that point of being the best second half that I can remember in a long time, you know, we were in control from the whistle until the full-time whistle. And that was summed up by getting over our sort of dodgy patch, if you like, in minute 45 to 60 and actually capitalizing on it ourselves, which did make a nice change, yes.
100%. Well, I'm glad you were able to recover so quickly in that, even though you've heard it twice, and people are wondering why we're saying twice is because I had a massive blooper on the first one that you will not hear. Maybe we'll start a Patreon one day if someone actually wants to pay a few dollars and they can hear my stupidity or anyone's stupidity. I'm not the only one. I'm not a lone ranger on this one. I'm not sure why Seb looks so excited. I'm sure he's typing in something in regards to that. But to move on a little bit swiftly here, of course, Villa will play Chelsea on April 27th. It's an 8 p.m. kickoff. Or if you're in Ontario, Canada, like me and Tom are, of course, it's a 3 p.m. kickoff. Bit of a nightmare for me personally, because I am a groomsman in one of my best friend's weddings. And of course, the ceremony starts at 3. So I'm going to have absolutely no clue what the heck is going to be going on for a large portion of this match. But of course, Simon, Chelsea do play Arsenal on Tuesday. They just played Saturday. They're going to have, you could argue, maybe some tired legs. Villa finally have almost a week to recover. They're going to have at least 2 days before they get back on the training pitch, it sounds like, from what the media are saying. But you would have to sit back and look at this and say, you know what, you have to back Villa.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea, they've got nothing to play for now, really, have they? They're losing the FA Cup semi-final. Their season's over. But they did come and beat us 3-1 in the FA Cup early on this season. So you can't take it for granted that you'll go there and win. But I think the fact they've been so up and down, and kind of more down really this season, and I've got nothing to play for, and we do, you know, the opportunity to put a 9-point gap between ourselves and Tottenham, you know, even though they'll have the 3 games in hand, you suspect that we'll be much more motivated and much more up for the game than they will be. So yeah, you know, 4 weeks rest for the players, no games to sort of prepare for in between. And yeah, you've got a bad fit. I mean, I at Villa Park, I'd back us against anyone. Like, there's just we had that little sort of blip January, February time with the home games, but we seem to have sorted that out and, you know, got back to winning ways with that. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. Nighttime game, the atmosphere, you know, is always better in a nighttime game than it is during the day. And I think the fact that it's such a big game as well, there's real positivity around the club as well. I mean, even, I don't know if you felt it as well today, Seb, like before the game, like as the players were coming out before kickoff, you could really feel that there was like a real positive buzz around the place. You know, the sellout, you know, complete sellout, pretty much. So, which I suspect will be the same on Saturday. So yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Bring it on. I mean, as I said earlier, it's been, I can't remember more exciting time to be a Villa fan, and to be going into it's strange. It's a strange feeling going into a game against Chelsea, where you're looking to win it to guarantee to solidify a top four spot then rather than them. Yeah, it's strange, but it's exciting. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to Saturday now.
And Seb, but just to bring you in on this one, of course, Cole Palmer has 20 league goals on the season. I think it's almost half that are from the penalty spot. But nonetheless, for someone his age, it's incredible. And I didn't even realize this, but Nicholas Jackson actually has, I think, like 10 goals in the Premier League on the season. I don't know where the heck that's come from. That's via the actual Premier League website. So don't hate on me for that.
Didn't it get a hat trick when Tottenham had two players sent off? So I don't think they should count.
Yeah, well, a lot of things shouldn't count these days. I mean, look at the Forest admin. Apparently, their whole thing against Everton shouldn't have even existed. So I don't know if anyone ever saw that, but that was mental. But I mean, Seb, to throw this back to you, they do have players that can score. So Villa, in an obvious way, are going to have to be on it defensively. But this is definitely a trickier game than it was early in the season when we played them away from home at Stamford Bridge, isn't it?
We've seen firsthand the threats that Chelsea can cause this season, and if you're not up for it, then they will punish you. They obviously had that crazy final few minute spell at Stamford Bridge against United. They've gone through the season where they'll pull out some really surprising results, some really surprising positive results. And then every time that you think they've turned the corner, you know, they might have fixed their problems, Chelsea might be back and they are a real threat, then they'll go and do something stupid like drawing Sheffield United. So, look, they obviously have their qualities and their threats. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, a force to be reckoned with. But at the same time, you know, they will have their weaknesses and come into Villa Park. I really think that Uno will want to win this one, especially after being knocked out at Villa Park. He'll be out for revenge, and he'll have analysed that game, if anyone knows Unai, probably over 1,000 times to try and nitpick any weaknesses of theirs. So, but yeah, it's definitely not going to be an easy game, not at all.
I think the one thing now that, as I say, with them losing that FA Cup semi-final, I think that massively helps Villa, because let's be honest, they're not exactly a squad full of strong characters and leaders, are they? Like, they've very much got it in them to just completely down tools, because they've got nothing to play for. Like, there's literally nothing that they can really do. They don't strike me as a team that will come and try and play with pride. Like, they just, so many of their players seem to go missing, and we've got everything to play for. So, well, I do get the point that they're capable of pulling like a ridiculous good result out of nowhere, and that have got goals within that team. But equally, like, if we were to take an early lead in the first 10, 15 minutes of that game, the atmosphere would be electric, and I suspect a lot of their players would just happily crumble.
Well, that's the thing with Chelsea too. I'm just kind of looking at where they are. Of course, they're in ninth. Don't know where they got 13 wins from this season, but they have 13 wins, 8 draws, and 10 losses. They're on 47 points. Somehow, they're only three points off of sixth. But of course, a massive goal differential swing would have to happen. I think a lot for them probably dictate and depend on how they do against Arsenal. If they lose that, of course, they have a few games in hand, so they can still catch up. But that's a massive dent. And I feel like, not even looking at their schedule, they do have some trickier games. I'm just thinking, I think Spurs are in there, Brighton are in there. I mean, who knows what shape West Ham will be in for the rest of the season. They're still competing for a European spot as well. So they still have something to play for. But I think at this point in the season, they're going to have to put a run of consistent performances together. And even though they beat Everton 6-0, and I watched that game, was very happy to see Cole Palmer get, was it 3 or 4 goals, whatever it was, because I put him as my FPL captain, so yay me. But the fact that there was, what, 2 or 3 of them fighting over the ball to take a penalty at like 4 or 5-0, you can tell there's a lot of egos and issues there, and that can cause any team, no matter how big you think they are in your own head, to not capitulate, but it's going to cause you some issues. And we'll have to wait and see what happens next Saturday in regards to that. But anyways, let's get over to the Twitter slash X polls, because of course we do this on every Monday recording when you guys are hearing this, or Tuesday, whatever the heck you want to listen to this. We always appreciate the support. So we ask you three questions, and you of course can get involved by voting. Of course, the handle to vote on is at Holtcast Pod. So the first one, of course, and we've already answered this, so I don't need to ask these guys for their opinion. Firstly, is Ollie Watkins the Premier League's player of the season? Astounding 96.2% of people said yes, a negative 3.8 said no. So pity to you 3.8%ers. The next question, I haven't asked this one, so I'll have to get these guys in a quick yes or no as well. This season, will Aston Villa beat their best ever Premier League points total of 74? Of course, 60.7% said yes, 39.3% said no. Simon, are you going with a yes or a no?
So what was it, 74?
Yes, so we're on 66. So we need
to win three of the last four games then?
Yes, basically.
Ooh.
Actually, would that even be enough? Wait, 69? Yeah, that puts on 75. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Seb, how about you?
We've got Chelsea, Liverpool, Palace. Who's the other game that I'm forgetting?
Brighton.
No.
Fair enough. To be honest, I'm actually going with Seb on this one. I feel like we're going to get to, I can feel like 72 points. I feel like we'll just come shy. And I mean, that's nothing to be ashamed of when you consider the season where you got 74 points or four more games in the league. That has to be put in perspective. And of course, if you discount that, then technically in a 38 game season, this is our highest points total already. So even improving on what we have already is a massive bonus. And of course, the most serious question you'll ever get in the world, which is the best meal? These are all English / British related, just to appease our fine listeners, because most of them are from that fine country. Of course, the options were fish and chips, full English breakfast, a Sunday roast, and bangers and mash. I'll get your opinions on this first before I reveal it. So Simon, which of those four is the best or your favorite?
Ooh, I mean, they're all good. I'd have to go for the full English.
Fair enough. Seb?
What time of the day are we eating it?
Anytime.
That's the beauty. Jesus Christ. The beauty of the full English is that you can eat that any time of the day and it's still great.
You can.
That'd probably be a great
where's hangover. Whereas the others are like more evening meals, or you know, the roast and Sunday lunch. Then the full English, I take out the equation.
If
that's literally to be enjoyed.
If you're hungover at four in the evening, and you're just somehow getting up, like Seb is probably most nights after going out, or day mornings or days, whatever. I mean, it just sounds scrumptious.
If you'd have asked me a year ago, I would have gone with the full English 100%. However, I have mastered the art of cooking a full English at university. So that's one of the few things that I've mastered cooking. So I'm really milking it at the moment. So I think I've maybe gone a bit sick of it. However, the one thing I haven't had in ages is a really good roast. And I've been dying to get to Toby Carvery to have one. So just for that matter, I'm going to have roast. However, it also depends on what time of year it is as well. Because
oh my God,
I feel like if it's winter, a roast is a lot better. Whereas you wouldn't really have a roast in the summer. Simon, you can back me up on this, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just reeling from the fact that you just said, I'm dying for a really good roast, so I can't wait to get to a Toby Carvery. I mean,
where would you go for a good roast then?
Like a nice pub, like a nice country pub.
Somewhere. I haven't had a Toby Carvery in ages though.
Oh, you're such a basic bitch.
Oh, that was good.
Remember, I'm on a student budget here, Simon.
So do you make the full English? People are not going to care about this, but do you make the full English for your flatmates with the very, very off opinions on Villa?
No, of course I did. Do I thought?
Okay, well, maybe they'd have good opinions on Villa if you actually did that for them. So start doing that. I mean, as a Canadian who has not had many of these things in terms of actually in the UK, the most similar thing I could say, and I'm not going to say fish and chips, Seb, so do not worry. Good. I'd probably say a full English. I feel like I probably had something very comparable, because there are like English style pubs in Canada, of course, and from expats. So I'm going to go with that. And Literally, breakfast or dinner is one of my favorite things, anyways. After a hard day at work, who doesn't want just, oh, I don't know. I love breakfast for dinner, anyways. But that's my excitement with that one. But anyways, 43.6% said a Sunday row. Second place was full English at 34.8%. Only 17.7 said fish and chips, and an odd few at 3.9 said bangers and mash. Is bangers and mash actually any good? Is it just the sausage and mashed potatoes or something?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sausage, mashed potato. I
Do they
mean,
put
it's not.
anything else on it?
Normally gravy is over it. So, I mean, like, it's nice. I wouldn't have chosen that as the meal to put up against the other three in the poll myself.
I just honestly thought off the top of my head, and I did that very quickly. So I think I deserve some credit, but
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys are able to function with some of these meals. I'm not gonna lie. Your cholesterol must be very high. That's all I can say, regardless of that. But anyways, let's move over to this.
So, you know, hence me getting a yellow card for saying I think you've had juggling balls for Christmas.
And of course, welcome back to everyone's favorite Villa-related game show. It's Dean Smith's Juggling Six. It's Seb's favorite time of the week when he gets to play this. He hasn't been on, I think, in just over a week or something like that. I can't remember the last time we actually chatted, Seb. Maybe it was last Sunday. Sorry if my memory is that poorly. But anyways, I did come up with this one last night, and I wrote it down a few minutes before we recorded this. So yay me for actually being somewhat organized. But regardless of that, I'm going to give you guys three lives. And the reason for that is I want you to name the teams that Villa have done a double over this season in all competitions. I figured out there's seven, so I need six of them. I'll give you one hint off the bat. One of them we played three times, but it doesn't mean that we beat them three times. So I just want to put that in a context if someone goes, oh, I played this team like more than twice. So just putting that out there. So, anyways, I want six of the seven teams that Villa have done the double over in all competitions this season.
I mean, I think we'll reel this off fairly quickly, won't we?
Well,
Yeah,
I
I
hope
think.
so, but I thought one or two
Okay.
might throw you out. So.
Is there a certain strategic you want to go for, Simon? Like order in the table, or shall we just
Just do
smash
one
through?
eight. Go back and forth, one each.
Okay.
Arsenal.
Correct.
Yes, Burnley.
Correct.
Fulham.
Correct.
Luton.
Correct.
How many is that?
Three. Oh, wait, no. Four. Sorry.
That's four, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just have a little think.
I should have just said one life. God damn it.
Oh no, because I'm just trying to think now who's in there.
Oh, here we go. Just have a go.
Hang
Lose
on,
a
actually,
life.
that's
Make me
fine.
look smart.
Would it be cheating if I got the league table up?
Yes.
Okay.
Massively.
Okay.
I'm honestly shocked you haven't got one, because I basically gave you a hint. But
Open three
anyways,
times.
I'm gonna count you down, and I want an answer.
Nah,
Five,
no,
four, three, two, one. An answer from either of you, please. Now.
So,
Seb,
no,
you've got
no.
one.
Oh, they played three times.
Yep, I want one answer now. You have three lives that you're doing very well. You can lose a life. No,
No. I was the same with Unai Emery. I
nope.
want a
Have a
100%
go.
perfect score.
Be confident. Come on.
I cannot think
Just
now.
throw a name out there. Even if you get one, then you have more time. So I need an answer now, or you're losing a life.
Why can't I think of any fucking teams?
Okay, you lost a life. Two remaining. There we
Okay. Well,
go.
hang on, all right, no. Let's all just calm down a little bit.
Played them three times. So who have we played in all competitions? Let's go FA Cup first.
It was Middlesbrough and
Middlesbrough.
Chelsea.
Is that it? Yeah.
And then we got outside Chelsea. And
So who did we play in the League
in the
Cup?
League Cup, Everton knocked us out in the first round, didn't they? So we came
It
into it,
wasn't the
so
first round.
was it not?
No. So I remember watching that draw and thinking.
That was the next round. We advanced past the
Yeah.
first one, didn't we? Yeah.
Now, who did we play in the first round? Because that must be who we've done double over.
No,
Who the hell did we
didn't we only
play in that
play
first?
Everton in the Carabao this year?
That's what I mean, yeah, and we lost to them.
Wait, it was the
Yeah.
first round. Really?
Yeah.
Well, like the first round that Villa were in.
That we came into it, yeah.
Yeah.
So how could we have done Who have we played this... three times then?
I'm going to press you for another one in five.
No, no, four. No. Behave
we're,
yourself.
We're going to be here all day if you're not going to get this. So five.
No, 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 no. We three, will not be rushed. Simon, two, do not give in to his pressure. One. You can edit just, this out. Just, you ha- no,
just
no,
have
no,
a go.
No, no, no.
Just have a go.
No, 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 no.
Come on. Come on.
No. Are you just talking about the Premier League double?
All competitions.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Right. Alkmaar.
Correct. Jesus Christ.
I honestly thought that you'd said just the Premier League double. That's why I got done.
Okay. Did we win away at Alkmaar?
Yeah, 4-1.
Remember when we were terrified that to play them?
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then can we include yes. Hibs as well then?
Correct. You have beaten Dean Smith in his juggling six.
If you'd have made it clear that you meant in all competitions.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to... okay, seriously.
I would just like to put this out there. I'm going to back my teammate, Simon, and I am going to say, yes, screw you, Cole. However, he did make it abundantly clear, so just for the record. But I will be backing my teammate, so blindly.
I took it as you saying, who have we done... I took it as the league double over.
I didn't say league though.
But because you mentioned all competitions, I've been meaning to both for okay, he clearly means FA and Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
Which, and that's what threw us.
Okay. This is how much you guys do not listen to me. I literally at the start of Dean Smith's Juggling Six of this segment, I said in all competitions. And then before I asked you guys to start, I said all competitions. I'm going to record this and put it in our group chat after. Because okay. I am not being made a liar in this farcery of whatever.
Oh, no. I know full well that you made it clear. And I remember you saying it. However, I feel like when my teammate feels so strongly about something, it would be poor teamwork of me to then go against him. So I am just going to blindly follow him and say that it's all your fault, Carl.
I will concede that I believe that you did say that, but what you failed to understand is I didn't hear you say that, and that's where the confusion has come in.
Well, I didn't. I'm sorry that you have selective hearing.
when you get older, these certain properties go.
Well, do you guys want to guess the seventh?
Is there one more?
There is one more. I'm honestly...
Is it Premier League?
Yes, I'm stunned you haven't said it because you've been talking about it and beating around the bush.
I honestly cannot think.
You've already said the team, but you just haven't given us an answer.
Have we? Who?
Everton.
We haven't done the double.
We drew 0-0 at Goodison.
We drew 0-0 at Goodison.
Did we not? No.
We
no,
drew-
yeah.
Well done, Carl. Keep that in.
Oh, I don't believe that. Are you sure?
100%. It was a shit game of football.
I'm gonna clip that up and put that in the group chat. How about that?
I'm just frazzled
that
now.
Worst
I can't even
season. I remember watching that on TV.
Wait, so we beat them 4-0 in August.
Yeah. Then they beat us in the League Cup and then we drew 0-0 at their place.
Why can't I find that game?
I'd assume that everyone's deleted it from existence because it was horrific.
Do you know why? Now I'm looking at the list because I saw 1-0, but that was when we beat Borough in the freaking FA Cup. I wasn't looking at it correctly. Oh, that's
don't
painful.
You dare edit that out either.
There was
don't
only
you
six
dare
of six.
Edit that out.
That's painful. I'm sorry, people. Apparently, when I do research, I actually suck more.
If that sums me and Simon up at all, the moment we realised you said Everton and you were wrong, we both looked at each other and went, "Way wanker."
Well, you're getting stuffed in the bin.
Let's be honest. I don't think any of us have come out of this little experience with any credit in the bank. Like no. we've basically done a Man United. We've got through it, but no one's won really.
No, we were 3-0 up. And then we almost blew it and still got to a cup final somehow. But anyways, I think we'll leave things at there. And if you've made it this far, I do applaud you and I do apologize as well, because that means you're a loyal Holtcast listener and we love you. But anyways, we'll wrap things up there. Thank you very much for listening. Of course, if you want to find any of us on X/Twitter, you can find Seb on there @SebastianBacon8. Simon's on there as well @SioRegan. I'm on there too at Talk Aston Villa. Of course, you can tweet the team at HoltCastPod. And if you want to email us for any God no known reason, of course, it's HoltCast@gmail.com. We should be back post Chelsea, but we'll leave things there. And don't forget, up the Villa.
We're going up. We're going up. We're going up.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.